left off with the Shaila.
Does it record well in the pocket?
Okay. You want tables better?
Okay. Alright.
So we left off last week with the following Shaila. We pointed out that Tosis has a chiddush in the beginning of the second paragraph of the Fala, that one is not over by Rabbi Matzah and Chomet She'ene Yadua. So not only is one not over by Uriah and Chomet She'ene Yadua because you can't see it, but one is not even over by Yimotzeh because it's not considered to be a Matzah. So even though the Gemara does say earlier in the Sefer that if you take Chomet and you hide it, you're over at least by Yimotzeh, that's only because you hid it, so you know exactly where it is. But if it is hidden from you and you have no clue where it is, that's not by Uriah, not by Yimotzeh. That's Tosis Chiddush. We also pointed out that there was some Rishonim, some even claimed the Rambam held this way, that if you have Chometz Yadua, then pickle is going to be ineffective on Chometz Yadua. So if you put together those two shitas, we're really in a pickle, because if you hold that there's no Bayrol and Matzah on Chometz Yadua, and you hold that Bittul doesn't work in Chometz Yadua, so then where is Bittul? When is Bittul? The Gemara says explicitly in the Abdallah Mubayz, that's the solution. However that works, that is the deraisa solution. You call Moshe Rabbeinu and ask Moshe Rabbeinu, what do I do? They tell me, Terapeisa, what do I do? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Bittul. Vidi, I never heard of Bikas Chometz. Bittul Chometz, never heard of Bikas Chometz. Bittul Chometz, Vidaraisa, Bittul Biyamasagi. So I ask the Kasha Moshe Rabbeinu, Marashach, what kind of Chometz is he postulating on? Chometz Yadua, Bittul is ineffective. Chometz Yadua, I don't have to do anything. So what's the case? So one conclusion that we could draw is that these two sheetahs are actually mutually exclusive. But anybody who subscribes to place the sheetah in Abba Talib must disagree with that Gerson and Rambam that we spoke about that last week. But we told you at the end of the show last week, we're going to walk the tightrope. We're going to try to walk the tightrope. So maybe one can literally have a cake, have a chometz, and have both. Namely, we can hold that Bittul is going to be necessary, something's going to be necessary for chometz and yadua, and Bittul's going to work on this type of chometz, so they don't literally walk that line of trying to get both of the shittas to be consistent with one another. So we have to go back to our Tosis for a minute, under Chabal now. So Tosis said, take a look again at this Tosis, the third Tosis, you should be the chayav the mitzvah, the animal that starts with the chometz, that hides some of the other chometz. It says Tosis, you're not in violation of Bal Yatvin, that's the issue of hiding chometz, back from the first birth. The Bal Yatvin Nafkula Milo Yimotzei, the key word was Lo Yimotzei, the Ein Zem Motzei, Kevan She'en Yadua Hechanu. I don't know where it is, that's called Eino Motzei, and that's not subject to Bal Yatvin. So I want to fine tune that for a minute. What exactly those words mean? What precisely does that term mean, that the Chometz is Eino Motzei, it's not known about? What would you say about the following shot? What if I cannot locate in my mind, I don't know where any particular piece of chometz is. That's true. I don't know where this particular piece of chometz is, but I have a very, very strong suspicion, and a halakhically binding suspicion, that there is chometz around here somewhere. What do you think about that? You think that's called matzui? What if that's called eino matzui? A very doctristic, a very, very fine line as to how do you define what's called matzui? What's not called matzli? Small difference. It's a deraisa every second for the whole week of Pesach. What's called matzli? What's called eino matzli? So I understand the two extremes. Matzli, Amish means, I know this comes this. I'm the one that took the pizza that I took home in my backyard and I stuck the pizza. That's called matzli. Chometz, I have no idea. There's not even a das. I have the foggiest notion whether there is any chometz and any chometz here. That's called eino matzli, lagamri. But what about something where I don't really know? I can't pinpoint. I don't know its location, where it is. But I really, really have reason to believe that there is chometz somewhere here. Is that called matzah or eino matzah? That was a machlek, is the kederli acharein in between the pre-chodesh and the pre-yeshua. How do we touch? How do we pshat in our Tosis? We're going to go, for now, with the approach of the pre-yeshua, that would qualify as matzah. Bamed the Barmamur, when did Tosis machadesh, that chomesh and yadu is called eino matzah? That's if you don't have a clue about anything about its existence. But if there is what we call a chazokah, namely, the status is most probably there is chometz here, albeit I don't know precisely where. That is called chometz matzui, and you would be in violation of Rabbi Matzui on that. What kind of chometz are we describing? Who does this speak to? Each and every one of us. It's the first mission of Masechet Pesachim. Makom shemechnisim lechametz. All our houses are like that. Imagine if our wives didn't clean up for Pesach. Could you tell me exactly that there's chametz under the couch? I have no idea, but it's a makom shechnisa by chametz. So whenever you have a makom shechnisa by chametz, especially when you have little kids, it would tend to be almost like the achbarim of the mice of the first breakfast of Tzachim. So every place is a makom shechnisa by chametz. There's an overwhelmingly good chance there is some chametz. There are some curios under the fridge. There is something around. Do I know where? Can I pinpoint exactly where? No. That's not what Tzitzis is talking about. But it's not the same down over by Rabbi Motzi on that. You won't call over by Rabbi Motzi on that. At least by Motzi on that. That's called Chametz, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, Chametz Yadua. And therefore, that was never included in Taisus Ptur. But now I ask you a question. This Chametz, this middle category Chametz, which speaks to 99% of us, is that Chametz subject to Bittul or not? Can you be mivatel such Chametz? So now we're walking the tightrope. We just got finished saying that's called Chametz Yadua. So if so, then it's called Chametz Yadua. According to those who say Bittul doesn't work in Chametz Yadua, so it's also called Chametz Yadua. How can you say it's Chametz Yadua and then turn around and say Bittul works on it? I'll tell you why. Why does Bittul not work in Chametz Yadua? Who remembers last week's Yisrael? What's Yisrael that does? Why is it that Bittul doesn't work in Chametz Yadua? Who remembers? What was the reason why? Why did the Rambam say Bittul doesn't work in Chametz Yadua? Who remembers why? What's the problem with Bittul and Chametz Yadua? Remember we had a kasha last week from the Talmud who's sitting in the yeshiva. So the Gemara says he can't leave the shiur, so we can be mevatel as chametz. So we ask the kasha, ayit chametz yadua. Who remembers the teretz? He can't go back. It's about, there's not an objective halacha for bittul not being chal and chametz yadua. The reason why bittul doesn't work chametz yadua is because 99% of the time when it's yadua lecha, and all you're doing is bittul and not throwing into the garbage, that's a gloy mil, so that's revealed that your bittul is not sincere. That shows that your bittul is a big joke. You're not doing something more constructive than bittul. To use a pun, it's mevatel your bittul. That's megala that your bittul is nishkin bittul. There's not a halacha that bittul doesn't work in chametz yadua. It's a metzius. The metzius in form is, how can you say this is going to count as bittul if you're staring in the face? I'm looking at the pizza in the face. What if I have a type of a chametz that I'm not looking in the face? You know why I'm not looking in the face? Because I don't even have a clue where it is. I know it's there somewhere. I know it's there. It's a bayish mechis bay chametz. Cheskoso shein abaduk. I know this chametz here. So to turn around and say that I'm not going to be over by Rabbi Motze, that's impossible. Because that's already considered to be sufficient yadua. For the purposes of Rabbi Motze, it's enough yadua. But for the purposes of Vilchus Bittul chametz, this dish came yadua. So we just pulled off the following stunt. We took the term yadua, and we said, brisket, there are two kinds of yadua. Not all chametz yadua, not all chametz yadua is the same. There's super duper yadua. Super duper yadua means a pizza pie staring in the face. The kids ate pizza tonight, half the pizza still sitting on the table. My wife, come home, that's what's still sitting there. But the pizza's still sitting on the table. It would be our Pesach, and I would look at that pizza in the face and say, you bist offer the hour. You are offer the hour. They'd laugh at me. Chazal would laugh at me and say, that's a joke, that's a late song, especially Nishkin Bittul. That's Bittul on Chametz Yadua, that kind of Bittul doesn't work. But if I have Chametz that's quote unquote Yadua, namely, I know in this house there's a Cheerio here and there's a hippo sandwich over here and there's a cracker over there and there's a cereal bar. I know there's Chametz all over the place, but I don't know where it is. And I just throw my hands up and I say, it's all Kafir the Arab. What's the steer to my Bittul? That's the steer, that's the steer to my Bittul. It's not a contradiction to my Bittul. If that's the case, so then vis-a-vis the dinim of Bittul, it's called Chametz She'eni Yadua. Vis-a-vis the dinim of Rabbi Motze, it's called Chametz Yadua. So we just walked a tightrope. We have a type of a Chametz that's, depending on which area of halacha we want to focus on, it's called Yadua for some things, and not called Yadua for other things. This is not the crazy one in a million years Chametz. This is every Jewish home. Every Jewish home, the week before Pesach, that's exactly what it is. Total, complete chaos, namely, it's Chametz Yadua / any Yadua. That's exactly. Call Moshe Ben. You have a case for this. Moshe, what do I do? Where do I go? What am I supposed to do? So Moshe Ben would open up the Gemara Pesachim Dabdal and he would say, Midaraisa b'bittul b'yamasagi. Minatayra do bittul. And if you don't do bittul, you know what's going to happen to you? You can be over by Rabbi Motze. Aye, but Kaisot Kazok, that's the Mishkin Bali Rabbi, it's not by Rabbi Motze because it's Chametz She'eni Yadua. No, that's not called any Yadua. Reish already told us. That's called Chametz Yadua. Because for the standards of Bayer Rav Imatzeh, it doesn't really consider to be Chametz Yadua. So that was a tight rope from the end of last week's year. Very good. So you're mechayim to pre-chodesh. So I preface by saying that this last 10 minutes is only the Pnei Yeshua dispute pre-chodesh. If you disagree with the premise of Pnei Yeshua, if you read the Taisas like Kipshutam, like you're trying to read it, then there's no way to resolve this Taisas. Thank you, Sinra. So Rabbi saying, is that yet the end of the sugya? Just the end of one small part of the sugya. Now we have to go on. How do we get into this discussion of Chometz Sheni Yadua in the first place? It all had to do with animals, with domesticated animals and wild animals, different eating patterns. So the Gemara said, commenting on the Mishnah of Chaf Chafal, the Mishnah said that you're, as long as you're allowed to eat the Chometz, you can feed it to your animals, to your domesticated animals, to your wild animals, to your birds. So the Gemara wanted to know why the Mishnah spells out Chayas and Behemoths. Why is it repetitious? Same thing. What's the difference whether I'm feeding it to my sheep or to my elephants? It's all the same thing. So the Gemara says, no, not so simple. The Gemara says that if it would have just said you can feed it to the wild animals, I would have thought since wild animals tend to hide things after they eat, so whatever's left over they're going to hide anyway, so that's significantly less of a problem. That's what I would have thought. So Tosus immediately focused on, what do you mean less of a problem? It's still there. So Tosus says, it's how much you do it. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi said something else. Usually the Shiva reads the Gemara first and the Rashi then the Tosus, so we do like the things that. Let's go back to Rashi for a little while. It's the seventh to last of the thin lines in the Rashi. Four lines on the bottom of the page. V'itanachaya. If the Mishnah would have only said you're allowed to feed your wild animals, Havamin, I would have said, Hi adifa. That's okay. To feed wild animals is okay. Mishum de'imishayra misnala. Because if it would hide it, if it's left over, it would hide it. V'lo avrole b'bayira. And there would be no violation of bayira. They would say the Rashi. There would be no violation of Bayira. What does that almost sound like? It almost sounds like... It almost sounds like there's some kind of violation of Bayira. It's almost. It's an almost. He didn't quite say it. It could be that Rashi here was speaking more like the colloquial sense. Like, it's not Bayira v'chule, you know. It's not an Issur Bayira v'matzeh, almost. That's like what Rashi may have meant to say. But take a look at the side. In the margin of the Gemara. Svar Macheru. It was another version of Rashi. Nehi de Ovra Bebal Yimotzei Bebal Yirah Lo Ovra. There's a yud missing in the morning. So there's a mistake in the mistake. Bebal Yirah Lo Ovra. That even though, yes, he violates Bebal Yimotzei, but Bebal Yirah, he didn't violate. So what Stephen was guessing is Pshat and Rashi. He read into the Rashi on the page, which could have gone either way. Rashi and the Gilgun is no question. This Svarmach, this Gears in Rashi is about as straightforward, tibet clearer than that. Rashi says, according to this version of Rashi, that you can't see the Chometz, so you're not over Bal Yiroeh, but you are over Bal Yimotzeh. I'd kind of a Rashi. So let's analyze what Rashi just told us. Which Gemara is Rashi referring to? Which Gemara in effect is Rashi quoting? Which Gemara is Rashi referencing? That you're over by your Motzei, but you're not over by your Ra. Which Gemara? I can't pick an Afi again. It starts getting that nice. So Yosef, you're closest to me. I'll pick on you. Which Gemara is Rashi referencing? We haven't learned that many Gemaras. It can't be that many. Rashi's saying that I can't see the Chometz, so by your Ra, I'm home free. Oh, I'm still stuck in a problem by
Yimotzeh. What is
Give your Chaya, because giving your Chaya is not as bad as giving your behavior. If you give your Chaya, it won't be a Chabotzer, you have a problem, because at least you won't be over.
Why is that okay?
No, and it was a chashash, it's a wall chashash, maybe there'll be something left, so I would have been less worried about that chashash. It was a Chabotzer, at the end it's not a problem. So which Gemara is Rashi referencing? Back in the Hamad Beis. So back to Hamad Beis again. The first one line was Gavoa. It's about 10 lines on the top. It said in the Chumash, Lo Yirah Lo Chachametz, Yochol Yatmin, forget the Kabbalah Donis again, Yochol Yatmin, Mechulei Kamen, Lo Melo Yimotzei, I might think that you can hide chametz on their Pesach and just stick it in a hole and call it a day. Kamash one, you can't do that. Because it says what? Because it says what you might say. Yesh lach for Rabbi Yisai. How to reach out this far? Let's put the Rashi in the back burner for a minute. Just read this Gemara, a half line of Gemara. The Gemara have a mina that I can take chametz in Erev Pesach, dig a big hole in the backyard, take all the boxes, shiur, and pizzas and everything, stick it in the hole, cover it up, and don't look. The Gemara have a mina that was okay. Why? It's a shteis. Fine, you're right. I'm not seeing it. No one's going to see it. Kamash belon, you can't do that. Kamash belon lo yimotze. Lo yimotze has nothing to do with Re'iyas. Lo yimotze says it's also. No, what's the chakir, if I say? Who's going to tell me the chakir? The Havamina was that as long as they don't see it, there's no violation of Bayuraya. Kamash belon, da da da. No, what's the Kamash belon?
Kamash belon, you either overrun Bali Motze when you do have mono, or you overrun Bali Motze anytime you have chametz, irrespective of whether or not you see it. If you proactively do hakmana.
So you're already throwing almost back the tights a little bit about that. I hit it, it got hidden by itself. We started. Judah got us halfway. I want to hear the two, very, very clear, two different stardom. No, it's real. You have two stardom. So Havamina, you have to install Havamina. Havamina was that I would have thought, state lo yirah, it says lo yirah. I'm not seeing it, not seeing it. It's mutter. Right? Kamash mula by yilotze. No?
So the other side is that
Kamash Balan.
Two sides of the same.
Two separate law.
Therefore?
Therefore, if you have one, then you can have one without the other.
Oh, the arms are in. Oh. So I can learn the Gemara like this. The Havamina was by your own name, Re'iya. The Kamash was, you're right. Tayro Taka does mean Re'iya. Aye, so why is it Osir? It's not Osir, it's by your own. It's Osir, it's by your Matze. If a guy takes chametz and puts it in his backyard and covers it up, he's not over by Yerah. The Havamina was 100% right. He's not over by Yerah. And if it's mutter, it's still lost around by Yimotze.
So Sula will never be over by
Yerah. That's right. Unless you want to walk a really, really fine line and say, by Yerah means that nobody can see it. Because it doesn't say Losira. It says by Yerah. Maybe by Yerah means if it's hidden, so nobody's seeing it. If it's a Suma, maybe someone else could see it. Maybe. But let's take the case of the Gemara. So one valid way we knew this Gemara was the Shachmatatik was the Havamina was by your raw mentor, the Kamash was you're right. You're 100% right. But there's another plus you have to reckon with called by Yimotze. Or there's another Pshat in the Havamina was going on. The Havamina was what? That by your raw meant can't be seen. Kamash belong by Yimotze. That what? That we goofed. We misunderstood what Bayra meant. We thought Bayra had something to do with eyes. We're wrong. Bayra is just a nice, poetic way of saying, Mr. Don't own chametz in Pesach. Bayra chametz doesn't mean don't see chametz. Bayra means the same as Bayimotze. Bayra and Motze are synonymous. They're identical with one another. Bayimotze has begala to me what the nature of Bayra was. So the question is, what changed from the Havamina to the Maskana? So the Havamina was clearly that Bayra had something to do with seeing. Is the Kamash law that you're right, but still also for a scientific reason, for a side, tangential reason for Bayi Matze? Or no? The Havamina was taka wrong. The Havamina was taka dead wrong. You have to revamp the entire Havamina. Bayi Ra has nothing to do with seeing, and therefore the guy who takes chametz and sticks it to his backyard is over 2 weeks surim. Is any nafkamina ladina? How many surim is over yet? We don't know yet. But conceptually, two different ways of reading the Gemara.
Doesn't the Rambam say it's two?
Get it wrong. That's why I put on the email. Everyone's got to bring a Rambam. That's exactly why. We're going to see the Rambam in a minute. So again, we have two valid ways of reading the Gemara. Who's going to tell which way Rashi learned? Obviously. Rashi learned that in Ochanam, you're 100% right. There's no Bayirah. There's only Bayimotze.
Rashi, he's focusing on the word Lecha or Lech?
No, Rashi is in Chaval.
I'm not
paying the biz. The is a different story. That's about the Nafi part. That's the second half of the Gemara that we ignored. So Rabbi Isai, who wants to disagree with Rashi? So the Ran wants to disagree with Rashi. Take a look at the Ran. The days of an alpha, the Ran from the Gemara. The days of an alpha, the Dafi Arif. Dibra Masvul Tmiya, the Bezim Alpha Dapir Rif, Dibra Masvul Tmiya. The third line into that Dibra Masvul. First one was Hetera. Everyone got it? A few words there. Venirali. Venirali Zikteran, the in. You got it? Vaday me'ikara amrina. Originally, we would have said the ilo kosav elo lo yira. If the Torah would have only said lo yira, hav amrina, I would have said yachol yatmit. That would have been a good hav amrina. Would have been a good maskana. Avat tevan the kosav lo yimotze. Listen to this one. Here's the punchline. Goli elo yira. The existence of the pasuk lo yimotze reveals to me about the very nature of lo yira. The re'ia lav dafka. Re'iyah, don't take the word re'iyah too seriously. El alishna bi'alma. Just a way, poetic way of writing. Ba'yirah, it's a nice way of saying, don't own chomer to pesach. So it comes down to machlokes Rashi and the Ran, that how to read the Shach Matan and the Gemara, the Hamad Beis and Maseches Pesachim. And Rashi, because he learned one way, was able to stick in his pshat into the Gemara of Chof Aleph, and didn't have to go down the route of chomer chenedua. Didn't need the whole Shukotar from last week. But the Rashi was only free to say that because of his understanding of the Shach Matan and the Gemara back, all the way back in the day. So, Vaisa, I asked the question, you know, it's a very nice academic question. It's a Lombish of Akira. We've quoted Rabbi Shach many times. Akiras without Nafkaminas are? Who remembers?
Philosophy.
There you go, philosophy, okay. So, philosophy's nice, but this is a Shira and Eir and Gemara, not a Shira and philosophy. So, we want to know, my Nafkaminas, who cares? We all care. Who really cares? Lamaisa. What is the two surim? We're from, so we're going to keep both. Whether it's one is the two surim, we're going to observe it. Right? What's the difference? They had a taina. Someone had a taina against the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim writes in the Zakhtom to say the Chofetz Chaim that there are 31 potentially surim violated with Lashon Hara. It doesn't mean every time you talk Lashon Hara, you're overall 31. It means if you talk against your parents, that's an added one. Against the Rebbe, that's an added one. Against the Kohen, another one. Everyone has a, you know, you can, theoretically, if you talk against the parent who's a Rebbe, who's the Kohen Gadol, who's the Melech, you know, you can end up violating potentially 31. So Chofetz Chaim added up all the possible numbers. So somebody had a kash against Chofetz Chaim, they said, we're Marashach, they don't understand. Who's the Sefer written for? Is it written for Shemot or Mitzvah now? It's written for someone who wants to keep the Mitzvah of the Baruch Shalom. If the Baruch Shalom said it one time, it would be enough. If a person is not so interested in keeping the Mitzvah, he said it 1,000 times. No one's going to listen anyway. So what's Pshat in the Chofetz Chaim? The Pshat in the Chofetz Chaim is, he was just following the Kodesh Baruch Hu's model. The Baruch Shalom took certain mitzvahs and repeated them so many times. The Baruch Shalom says, don't be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Every other pasuk in Sefer Devarim talks about, don't be Ovid Avodah Zarah, don't be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Okay, ready enough. What's the answer? Because it's so important. It's so chomer. It's so basic. The Baruch Shalom didn't trust us just to say it once or twice. He had to repeat it. And we still didn't listen. We still had to suffer the chur b'vayis rishon because of Ovid Avodah Zarah. So when something's really, really important, because Baruch Hu said a lot of times, so it is important to know. The guy who keeps chametz is yoga only by Ra, also by Ra. It's important academically. I want this. I want the mice is important. So let's take a look. The Rambam. See if the Rambam has anything to say about this guy. Just exactly how many Isurim one violates, does it really matter to us? Let's take a look at the Rambam Perek Dalid. Halacha Beis. Rambam is pretty much summing up. That was pretty much summing up that Perek Dalid was this. Some of the Gemara's have Rambam in the back, right? No, some of them have. No. Okay. Some like the fancy schmancy of Gemara have the appropriate Rambams that are quoted, but I think whatever. Perek Dalid Halacha Beis.
In the case of Chayyim,
so at the end of the day, I don't really know that. You know, the case of Chayetz must have defeated because we assume it's all going to be gone anyway. So it's going to be the Marashah. If there's really something left, it's going to be also. Whether it's one Yisur or two Yisur, it's not going to make much of a difference.
It was just an
yeah, it was just an Amid. Yeah. The Prayer Dalla Chabed is the Rambam writes, Halamadata, Shechomet Shal Yisrael, Jewish Don Chomet, and Hinichai Bishusai, if you leave it in your property on Pesach, Afilu Tomun, even if it's hidden, Afilu Biracheres, even if it's far away, another city, I've come to Eretz Yisrael, I'm living in America. I feel Mufka Biad Goyim, that's a different story. Hareza Oiver Mishum, Lo Yiraya, Velo Yimotze. One is in violation of Bal Yiraya, U Bal Yimotze. I don't think it could be clearer than this, that the Rambam is siding, like the Ran, that Chometz, which is Tamun, it's hidden, Bal Yimotze is Begala to me that I'm over Bal Yiraya as well. Seems pretty straightforward. Why would anybody think otherwise? I'll tell you why somebody would think otherwise. Let's go back to another Rambam.
How do we know he distinguishes? How do we know he considers it two separate Israel?
he just said, he's over mishum balyu ra uvayu matze. You're over both. If the Rambam would have held, like Rashi, that chametz which is tamun is only a violation of lo yimatze, he should have said, he's over mishum lo yimatze.
How do we know they're distinct these two? Just because they're different sukkim?
I mean, there are different sukkim, yeah. So let's take a look at a Rambam.
It's possible to say that it's distinct Yisurim, but linked together. And
yeah, okay,
over
I mean,
one, you're over the
okay,
other.
Okay, we'll see in a second. We'll see in a second what that means. So let's take a look at a Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel for the Slomach Samaritan. Eino loke mishum lo yirav lo yimatzei. A person is not chayim malchus for violating by rabbi matzei. Ela imkein kono chametz bePesach, unless a person actually bought chametz on Pesach, o chimtzo, or if he actually caused the dough to become chametz, k'deshiyase b'maisa. Because if he violates by rabbi matzei, like most people violate it by just sitting back and doing nothing, that's called the lav she'ein b'maisa, a violation which didn't have an action to it. Any losa say doesn't have a ma'isa to it, by definition, not be chayav malchus. That's what the Rambam compares and contrasts. So it gives you an example of kana and chimtzoy, which is a violation of the ma'isa. Aval zok the Rambam. Im ha'ilu chametz kaidim ha'pesach. If a person had chametz before Pesach, ubo ha'pesach lo bi'aroi, and he didn't burn it when Yontif came. Ela hinicha b'shusah, he left it in his rishus. Afa pisha avra shnei l'avim, says the Rambam, we're not questioning that he violated the Yisurim. Ain't a lokum in a Torah, Meshlos of a Maisa, because once again it's a lav shame of Maisa, Umakos and Makos married this with Rabbanon, okay, but we'll deal with the Midrabban, that doesn't interest us right now. So, how many things did the Ram just tell us in this Allah? So first of all, the Ram told us that, generally speaking, 9 out of 10 times, by Rabbi Mati doesn't get Malthus, because it's a lav shame of Maisa, that's interesting. Then he said, every once in a while we can get around that issue, we can, in effect, violate by Rabbi Mati any day Maisa. You know, it gives two practical ways to do that, in case you're interested in getting malchus. So if you want to buy chametz, or you want to make chametz, either one will do the trick for you. But I want to focus for a moment on the situation, the strange situation where the person will get malchus. The two scenarios where he violated by Ramat Zayin Ma'isa, either he made chametz, he made dough chametz, or he bought chametz. He will be chay malchus. How many malchus? How many sets of malchus do you think he gets? A person can get multiple malchus for one action. What's it, you know?
It says Shnei Lavin.
So the Rambam was pretty clear, She'avra Shnei Lavin, which, you know, and he said at the beginning, Lo Yerov Lo Yvotzei, it's just about clear that the Rambam meant you're going to get two sets of malchus. If you violate two Lavin, each Lav carries with a malchus, then presumably you're going to get twice malchus, right? The Rambam didn't say it mamish black and white, but I would say I'm 99% convinced from the way the Rambam's presentation is comparing, contrasting, yes, Malchus, no Malchus. In the case of the no Malchus, he uses the phrase to love him. He most probably meant that Eino Mishum Lo Yerov Lo Yimatzei, you're going to get two sets of Malchus. I think that's a pretty clear reading of this Rambam. This raises a red flag, this Rambam. Anyone know?
Didn't he say I don't have it in front of me. Didn't he just say, yeah, Perek Dalet, that it's one, like the run? Doesn't the Ran say it's one?
No, all the Rambam said there is that don't think that Tom is only a violation of one, not the other. Kamash Malon, that by Yimon says,
like
that, it's Megala that we misunderstood by Yerob, but it is still two different sukkim, two different Lavim. So, there's a red flag in the Rambam. Do we know what it should be? No, that's a very big red flag in this Rambam. That's not the one we're going to talk about now. That's Reb Chaim's big red flag. That's the can't get rid of than that one. We may guess what towards the end of this year. But anyone know the problem with this Rambam? Anyone can guess the problem with this Rambam?
You're saying there's not clear between one and two, but here it's only one.
You're on the way, on the way. We're getting there. I'm going to ask you a funny question. So we just celebrated the month of Tishrei, a lot of Yom Tovim. The person went ahead and did Malacha, so we'll take Rosh Hashanah first of Yom Tovim. The person did Malacha on Rosh Hashanah. How many malachas do you get? It says in Chumash in Parshas Emor, in Rosh Hashanah. How's it go? Echad l'chodesh, yalachem shavason, zichron turam mikvakodesh, komalach zavod olosasim, right? It says, komalach zavod olosasim, right? It says it again, in Parshas Pinchas. Right? Vasisam, l'chodesh ha-shvi b'chad l'chodesh, komalach zavod olosasim. The guy does one act of malacha, how do you mach this again? One or two?
One.
One. He violated komalach zavod olosasim. So that's one pasuk. So the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs develops a yesod in Shorish Tes, in the introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says, it is obvious, as the Rambam, when you count Tariag Mitzvahs, you can't count the same mitzvah twice. The Torah says, don't do malach on Rosh Hashanah, and then the Torah repeats it a few parts, that don't malach on, it's the same thing. There's no difference between the two. It's just written l'chizuk, just for chizuk, just to emphasize how important it is. The Torah says it twice. But it's not to tell me that it's a separate independent law. It's not the same thing. So says the Rambam, whenever you have two Isurim, it doesn't really matter that they're written, it's like two times the Torah speaks about this, it doesn't really matter whether it's in the same pasuk or not. It doesn't matter if it's the same part or not, it's the same sefer or not. What really matters is, the way to know whether you have it's one Isur or two Isurim, is to ask yourself a very simple question. Are there any differences? Are there any time when one is violated and the other is not violated, or vice versa? That's going to be the test case. If you can't find me any practical difference between the two Isurim, then you must fall back and say, it's just l'chazek ha'inyan. It's just to strengthen the prohibition, but it's not really counted as a separate mitzvah, and therefore the Rambam says, in l'chus malchus, you will only get one set of malchus. That's the cloud God. We can take a look at yourselves and shurish test. Don't be the same. It's the Rambam's Yisoid. Based on that Yisoid, if the Rambam is telling us in Chum Tzimatz Pekav Loch Gimel that Yechayev Malkus and the Pashas Aloshim and Aaron is right is that Yechayev twice Malkus, what the Rambam must be saying by definition is that there has to be some real difference in by Ra and by Yonzei. They can't be saying the same thing. The only way to prove that is to find some scenario where you're over one without being over the other. Comes the guest of Mishnah on the spot, on this Rambam. Look at this guest of Mishnah. Take a look at this guest of Mishnah. Right? Because the Mishnah is coming. You don't see it. Aleph, Aloch, Gimel. Beginning of Aloch Gimel, Eino Lakosav Re'ein V'Yesh L'Tmaya. That B'Sharish Tes Nerish Ein Loike V'Chule. But he, but I just told you 5 minutes. He said V'Chule. I am B'Sharish Tes. So now skip down a little bit.
Does the Rambam see if the mitzvahs counted as one mitzvah or two mitzvahs?
Two mitzvahs.
Sefer mitzvahs.
Yeah. I give it. I should tell you. You don't even have to go.
Yeah.
Look at the Kotar. Look at the introduction. The listing. The listing. He counted it still. Go back to the Kesef Mishnah. Four lines from the bottom. V'hanir be'enai. Below your own, listen to this Kesef Mishnah. V'hanir be'enai. Is that Kesef Mishnah v'dasir Rambam? D'lo yiroya lo mashva elek shunir lo inayim dafka. Bal yiroya means you have to be able to be seen. Like the hava mina davei, which remained as a what? As a maskona. On the fair, you're not over bal yiroya, like Rashi said in the Gilead of Chafal. The chay mashma say from mitzvahs, but shereish, but shereish aleph. Okay. Ah, you masha kasa. What's the kasha? No, what's going to be the next kasha on the Rambam? The Rambam brings dalit shteiti over both. The masha kasa brings dal lochabeis or mishum by rova imotzei. Listen to this. The Rambam was talking about a lot of things, about chametz that's in another place. The Rambam talked about a lot of different cases. That's what the Kesef said to Rambam. He was willing to take the Rambam, Pregdal Lachabez, and disagree with the way we thought the Lashon HaRambam was, almost the Pashtus Rambam was screaming out at us, that the Rambam says that it's only by Rabbi Motzei, because Mishnah says, no, the Rambam didn't mean it. The Rambam meant that most of the time, you can end up violating both, and Takaruchinami, every time you're over by your Motzei, you can be over the other way. Every time you can be over by your right, you can be over by your Motzei. But you can have by your Motzei without having by your right, i.e. Tamun, and that's why the Rambam was willing to give you two sets of Malkus. So you hear how far the Kesef Mishnah took this. He had two Rambams. He's staring, this is the Hilgur of Yosef Karim, right? Baal Shulchan Aruch, Baal Mechaber. He's staring at two Rambams. And it can't make sense that it's two Rambams. Because the Rambams say to each other, our show, how do we pshat him in Tzachar and Davei? We had a Chakir. Adam, Rabbi Yosef Karim, sitting in the cave in Sfat. They're trying to figure out, looking at the two Rambams, the two Franco Rambams in front of him here. Two scrolls, one scroll here, one scroll there. Look at both of them. Get a Rambam break down, Lach HaBeis. He's got a Rambam break up, Lach HaGimel. One Rambam's pointing in the direction that Yechai Mappas twice, because he has the third Rambam in his back pocket with the Shurish Tess. So based on Shurish Tess, he has a triple, three-way steering Rambam. Based on the Rambam say from Mitzvah Shurish Tess, it's clear that when the Rambam says that break up, Lach HaGimel, they get twice Malkus, he must be saying there are differences. If you look at the Rambam Perek Dalet, there are no differences. He says it belongs to both together. So I guess the Mishnah was willing to take that Rambam Perek Dalet and almost make it a little bit of a shtickle of Dafka in order to stick in this Rambam, make this Rambam read clearly. And now the Kesef Mishnah pulls off the ultimate. We should give it a little pat on the back. Just look at the very end of the Kesef Mishnah says. Second line for the bottom. V'yal da'at zeh, yesh l'forish gam ha'brais ha'shnur perek ha'am d'psochim. Shemim men alam ha'ram din ha'am l'eskar perek. Says Kesef Mishnah, and if you really want, you could stick to what I just said into the Brais and the Pei. How could you stick it in? The other side, the Chakira. It means Kesef Mishnah thought one side of the Chakira was right. When he was reading Perek Dalet, he thought one side of the Chakira was right. When he went back to Perek Aleph, he realized, no, Perek Dalet can't be Daf. It's got to be Perek Aleph is Dafka, which forces us to the other side of the Chakira. So Baruch Hashem, we're on target. We read, okay, we all started with this little wild animal, this little your pet elephant that's again, hiding chametz in the backyard. So the Gemara said, there's a svara to say that it's not such a big deal because it's all hidden anyway. No big deal, no problem. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Why not worry about it? So Tosfos says, chametz in the dua. Rashi didn't say chametz in the dua. Rashi says, not as big. It's a deal, but it's not a big, super duper duper big deal because it's no bayirah. Bayirah, yeah. Bayirah, no. Which led us to see that the Ran disagrees, which forced us to open up a chakira, how to read a pei. We went to go check and test ourselves, use the Rambam as a lab to see. Rambam's good, you know, to see Levaisa, how it plays out in the Sefer Halacha. We saw two different readings within the Rambam himself. The Rambam Perek Dalet gave us one impression, the Rambam Perek Aleph based on the Sefer Mitzvah gave us another impression, because the Mishnah came to save the day, and the Mishnah himself completes the circle and says, I gave back himself from the Fei, that's where the whole Sukkah starts. So next time we read the Sugya on the Kabbalah from Tzachim, you have to read Tzachim the Kabbalah through the eyes of Tzachim the Pei, brought to us by Rashi, maybe, Svarma came in Rashi, the Ran, the two Rambams, gets the Mishnah for the icing on the cake, Baruch Hashem, at least, you have Mahalach in Tzachim the Pei. Vaisai, start the next Sugya. Baruch Hashem, finish the second Sugya, run a roll. Start the third Sugya. So the Gemara goes through all the different things that you're allowed to do before the Chametzah kicks in. You can eat the Chametz, you can give it to your animals, everything is paraded with the Gevaldik. And other thing that was listed in the Mishnah, so you're allowed to sell to a Goy. Now, lest one think that this Mishnah was referring to the Mikvah Mechiras Chametz, it wasn't really. The Mishnah wasn't recommending selling to a Goy, it wasn't advertising it, it wasn't telling you that's what most people do. So we're just saying, you feed it to your animals, to your birds, to your monkeys, to your deer, everyone else. You eat something good, Mr. Brown also my type. Later, hundreds of years later in Jewish history, what was almost mentioned as the Mishnah, kind of like a side point, became normal practice called Mechira's Chametz that we're familiar with today. But that's not the Mechira that the Mishnah is necessarily referring to. The Mishnah says, a guy who wants to sell, you don't have to. Because if you want to sell it, there's no problem. So comes the Gemara in the fourth line from the bottom of Chafal Rav and Michael and Rechri. He must pshita. What's the shadow? Why can't I sell to God? It's not also yet. It's our pace in the morning. Why can't I sell to God? What's the Chiddush in the Mishnah? Says, no. It is a Chiddush. Lafuki mehai Tana. It's coming to exclude the following Tana. This Tana in our Mishnah is commenting on a Machlekes HaTanaim, And it's coming to tell us that don't make the mistake. Who's the lafuke who? The sign of Bishama Yoimrim. Bishama said, Lo yim karadim chemsel inachri, when it's not permitted to sell his chametz to a goy, Ella im kein yodeyabo sheyich lekoyim Pesach. Unless one knows that the chametz will be gone, will be physically gone, before Pesach. So we want to sell chametz, let's say, it's Erev Pesach in the morning, and I got a couple of donuts, a couple of Dunkin' Donuts, I want to give and sell to the goy, at 9 o'clock in the morning, fairly certain that the goy will consume them by 11 o'clock in the morning, that's fine. But if I think that I'm going to sell the goy this big, big, big cases of schnapps, thinking he's going to consume it, maybe no, most probably not, I'm going to sell him my entire pizza store. How many pizzas can he eat before the Shah Shishas? So Bishama says, you can't do that. You're not allowed to sell chametz to a goy unless you know sheyodeh sheyich lo b'kerem Pesach. That's the shita Bishama. So that's what our Mishnah is saying, that that's not correct. That was Bishama's view. So he disagrees. So Rabbi Sai, we have to understand Bishama for two reasons. First of all, Torah hi l'olam d'yitzar. The Gemara says, Eilu v'eilu d'vir l'kim chayim is chal Bishama shittas also. So we have to learn it. We have to understand it. We have to be ayin and shittas Bishama. But with an eye towards why don't we accept Bishamai? So before we can understand why we don't accept Bishamai, we have to understand why Bishamai did accept Bishamai. So let's see if we can analyze Bishamai Shita first. So Rashi says, well, where did this come from? Based on who? Based on what? Why can't you sell chametz to goy? It's 3 hours before chatzar. What's the problem? Says Rashi, two lines at the bottom, Kedem, Shiyaveh Pesach. The goy has to, after be certain the goy is going to finish destroying it or eating it before Pesach. Because Savre, because Bishamai were of the opinion, mitzvah alav levaro min ha'olot, v'lo shehei kayim. Bishamai understood that there's a mitzvah satayra, somewhere tucked away in the Chumash, is a mitzvah, which forces me, their understanding of the mitzvah forces me to ensure that the Chumash is destroyed by the time Pesach comes. Not just merely to sell and have that chametz sitting around somewhere, but it has to be so that's the mitzvah satayra. And I ask you, which mitzvah satayra was that? Which mitzvah exactly did Bisham? Which pasuk of Bisham did they tag this onto?
Tashbisa.
Clearly, Tashbisa, there is no other mitzvah. What else? The chismatza, what other mitzvah could they be talking about? So Bisham has a remarkable novel interpretation, novel for us, what Tashbisa means. Tashbisa means a total and complete destruction. Just as an interesting side, according to Bishamai, let's say a person violated this. They went in and they sold the chametz to Mr. Brown now before chatzos, now before this month, whatever it is. You think that the Jew who did that is still in violation of Bayarov Matzei?
No.
Never in a million years. You know why? That is. So he avoided Bayarov Matzei, yet he didn't fulfill Tashbisa. What does that tell you a little bit about the relationship between the two? This is from Bishamai again. That they're not as related as we thought they were. You know, we had somehow this mindset a little bit that Tashbisu, when you do Tashbisu, you're not ever by Rabbi Matzei. As long as you saw by Rabbi Matzei, you're to Tashbisu. So Bishamai is telling us that that's wrong. That you can have a Hechitimsa where you didn't violate by Rabbi Matzei, it's impossible. You're over by Rabbi Matzei, it's not yours. But it's not a guarantee. The non-violation of Bayarov HaMatzei is not a guarantee of fulfilling Tashbisa. Have we seen that before? Who remembers? We already saw that before. We saw that in Rishonim. Now we're seeing it in Tanoim. We're going backwards. We saw that in Rishonim already, such an idea. That you could do something that guarantees the no longer violation of Bayarov HaMatzei, even though it's not a key of Tashbisa. Taisus, right? Taisus Bittul. Remember, we spoke about it first week. Taisus said Bittul Chometz is Nishket Tashbisa. Taisa said, Bittul Chametz is Hefker, which circumvents Tashbisu, circumvents by Rabbi Batzi, but doesn't fulfill Tashbisu.
But would Bishamai agree that Bittul Ba'am
Sagi? I don't think so. Doesn't sound that way.
Right,
at least that's the way Rashi said it. Of Arm and Oilam.
According to Bishamai, just that all year round, meaning theoretically, if you sold so much Chametz, that would be Eirsha.
So you want to know when does Tashbisa start? This is the throwback to last year, right? Is Tashbisa only right before? Is Tashbisa 30 days? Tashbisa the whole year? Right? It's not so poshut, not so simple. Guy sells his whole stock, so much schnapps, that it would take the goya 10 years to drink. So maybe today doesn't accept Tashbisa. Got a lot of work cut out for us. So at least let's focus on a Rashi. Rashi's version of Bishamai, that the issue at hand is the Nitzah Sefta Shvizu, and Bishamai in a very unique understanding from the Varim Ra'ilam. Okay, so we spent some time on Bishamai. Now let's go back to Bishamai. Why don't they still accept Beis Hillel?
Just doesn't have to be
Yibushos.
What's
supposed
to say?
Tashbisus.
It's not in my house anymore.
It's not yours anymore.
So could, let's take the, you know, Tamir Chamam Shalom Oilam. So let's make the machloikis very, very small. We'll minimize the Nekudas Machlokes. Beis Shammai understood that Tashbisa requires some real formal action, and that formal action has to result in physical destruction of Chametz. That was Beis Shammai's formulation. Beis Hillel may very well beat Beis Shammai halfway. We also concede that Tashbisa means a formal action. You have to really do something. You don't get brownie points of Tashbisa sitting around and doing nothing. You have to do something. But whereas it has to be an action of physical destruction, as Judah says correctly, according to Beis Hillel, it doesn't have to be physical destruction. It's just, you know, I was mashbir se'or, I did some other kind of physical action. I did something. Don't say I did nothing. I did something. It wasn't putting something in flames. It wasn't flushing down the toilet. It wasn't a physical destruction. But I did do something. So it's possible that Beis Hillel's view is, we agree with you, Beis Shammai, it requires a physical, some kind of an action, some kind of something, but we disagree with you in what that something has to be. Therefore, it's quite possible, according to Beis Hillel, when the person's sitting there and going through the kinyan of Mr. Brown, he can make a bracha, shekidishonu mitzvayisim tzivonu al bir chometz, l'kayim mitzvayisim hini mucham zu mekam mitzvayisim tashbisu, and sell the chometz to Mr. Brown. I was mash, Mr. Chometz, be basi. Beis Shammai says that's ridiculous. Beis Shammai says you have to be mashed, which means you have to physically destroy it. And Beis Hillel says no, you have to physically do, yeah, up in it. Doesn't have to be destruction. That's also called the physical removal. I'll tell you a secret, I'm going to go even one step further. That maybe Beis Hillel would not even require a physical action. Maybe even words would be enough. Maybe even thought process would be enough. What am I getting at, what I say? Maybe Bittl's good enough. Rashi's Bittl of Tafdat.
Why don't you say the chiluk is in the chometz itself, not on the person? Meaning that the chometz requires, according to Beis Shammai, a tashbisu that you can't remove once you own it. But according to Beis Hillel, if he doesn't own it, there's no mitzvah to do the tashbisu.
So what Henry is saying is that, or I think he's saying, if not, I'll tell you what he's saying,
I'll take it.
I'm not making a choice. Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai that you didn't really fulfill Tashbisu. But who cares? That's what Beis Hillel is saying. Who cares?
It's not yours.
It's not yours anymore. So you didn't really say Tashbisu. You didn't do Tashbisu. Who cares? You're not chayiv tashbisu, it's not yours. So I didn't want to say that, because I said, I want to be a ma'ib machlokes. You want to create machlokes, I want to be a ma'ib machlokes. I'm trying to make Beis Shammai still almost identical to the last point. They're looking at all the halakhic tamid of Beis Shammai still, they're sitting together in the same room, and they all hold the same lamdas. Tashbisu, you got to do something. Got to do. What do you got to do? That's where they part ways. A little different nuance. Beis Shammai is up the zoi, Beis Hillel is up the zoi. But they all work in the same mahalach. At the end of the day, Beis Hillel is going to say selling the chametz to Mr. Brown is a key of tashbisu, so without Beis Shammai disagreement.
Well, maybe according to Henry, they all agree on something else. They all agree.
So according to Henry, they all agree what tashbisu is.
Tashbisu is to destroy.
To destroy.
But
the machlokes
is if you'll say the myth. If
No, you don't need to say that. Does it really matter that I'm not
here?
Oh, so that's a whole different ballgame. So I said, I'm the Baal Shalom, you guys are the Baal Pluxus here. So Judah and Henry are cahoots together to show me that the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is much deeper than what I said. I said that the Machlokes is, they all basically agree to the fundamental bits of Tashbisu, and they're disagreeing about the nuances. So Jude and Henry, I overdid it with you guys because I quoted the Baal Machlokes, it's not fair. according to you, Basham Basilo are very, very similar in terms of Tashbisu. Not only are they similar, they're identical in terms of Tashbisu. But there's a major point of divergence. What is that? That Bishami says, well, you have a mitzvah Tashbisu, so do it already. And Basilo says, I have a mitzvah Tashbisu, great, how can I get out of it? What can I do to get out of it? And there's nothing wrong with getting out of it, it's circumvented. So according to my version of Machlokes Basham Basilo, the Machlokes is openly what is Tashbisu, a very watered down Machlokes is Tashbisu, mice X and mice Y. According to Henry and Judah, no. He said, everyone agrees exactly what Tashbisu is. The Machlokes is it a type of a mitzvah that must be done, or is it a type of mitzvah that can be circumvented? I remember years ago, I'm sure I told this over in the shul, in other contexts, when I was around Paramus, so we had, it was two Shemitahs ago, we had a Yom Iyun for Shemitah. One of the topics obviously was Het Mechira. So like the name of the topic, the name of the sheet said something like, you know, Het Mechira, circumventing the Shemitah year, something like that, you know, with a question mark. So somebody got very, very offended. They said, how dare I use the word circumventing? That's such a negative connotation. And I didn't look really in the dictionary. I said, to the best of my knowledge, I'm walking in a straight line. There's something in the way. So if I go around it, so that's called circumventing it. So that's what happened. Whether you like that I went around it, or you don't like that, but Lamais, I went around it. So the Shemitah came, and I figured out a chop, how to get around the Shemitah. So maybe it's good, maybe it's not good, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the word circumventing. Okay, it's so to him. So good, so forget Shemitah. Circumventing Tashbisu. So Bashami says, that's terrible, you can't do that. And he says, you can do whatever you want. So they circumvent Tashbisu, see what it's, who cares.
What's the problem according to Bashami to the Dolasai?
Something like that, yeah. That's what it sounds like.
If you know that the guy is going to eat it before.
So it sounds like almost that's my tashbisu. Means I set up the situation to be this. So we have two biurim. So we have two biurim. Two very, very different biurim. You have machlokes in nuances of tashbisu, or we have machlokes in almost in hilchas circumvention. It's not really a tashbisu machlokes. Some kind of a circumvention machlokes.
Maybe Shammai is concerned that you'll be over another yisur by your
There may be other pshatim in Shammai, but Rashi said. Rashi is very clear. Kasavre mitzvah lo v'var min ha'olam. There's no margin of Rashi, there's no svar mecherim, no svar. Rashi said it's a mitzvah problem.
Even according to Rashi, so wait, the Lumbay Shammai, you could Rashi understand, according to the way you learn B'tzilah, it's possible that it still holds of some action.
So you say, form your gift for them. If you're on my team, I'll build you up. I'm
nervous.
I'm
saying.
Guys, decide. Look, remember Rashi Bashlechova. You know, Haran is also playing both ways. He didn't have the will. He had to decide. You know, with us or against us.
Right. Yeah, but not only all of his one extreme, but I'm saying that Basil can still hold at some level of, and not me selling it is the action.
That's me.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have good Toronto. Okay. three Toronto.
Like but I thought you said it in the sense that it can be with, like, you know, just Bitzel or, you know.
Okay. So how far that action, right. Quote, what is right. That's for the further discussion.
That corner of Yipshad, isn't it kind of, aren't you bringing Bisham and Basil into the Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda's argument?
It's going to relate to that in some shape or form, but we're not quite sure how that's going to fit in. Because we don't even know what that machlokes is about. We have the first year. Rabbi Yisai, I have a third possibility. That's the one that includes machlokes Bisham Basil. Not me, not Henry and Judah, not Israel. A third possibility. Basil so radically disagree with Bishamim, not just about the nuance of Tashbisu, Maisa, not Maisa, they radically disagree with Bishamim what in the world the very essence of the mitzvah of Tashbisu is. Yaduwa Mefursam, and if it's not Yaduwa Mefursam, it's going to become in the next 10 seconds, Mechaschidach Mitzvitas, has a fundamental, the fundamental hakir, at least that he thinks, the fundamental hakir about the mitzvah of Tashbisu. What is Tashbisu? I'll give you two mishalim. There's a mitzvah essay in the Torah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's one kind of a mitzvah. And there's a mitzvah essay in Rosh Hashanah to sit back and twiddle your thumbs and not do malacha all day. You get tzchar for the mitzvah essay. One's called Yom Tzriya Lechem, one's called Shabbosom. There's a mitzvah, one of the 10 mitzvahs. One of the 248 mitzvahs essay is to refrain from malacha on Rosh Hashanah. They're both mitzvahs essay, but they're radically different. One is fulfilled by a day kumba essay, by doing an action. One is fulfilled by a day sheva al tasa. What is Tashbisu? Is the mitzvah Tashbisu a mitzvah like shofar, like matzah, like gula, like sukkah that requires something? I don't know what that something is yet. You have to do something. It's a mitzvah b'kumeset. Or is the nature of the mitzvah tashbisa b'sheva al tasa? If it would be b'sheva al tasa, what would it really mean? What would the nature, what would the essence of the mitzvah of tashbisa mean? When I sit around the whole week of Pesach, and lo and behold, there was no chametz, I pat myself on the back. The mitzvah is not a mitzvah that I have to go ahead and actively do. As long as I don't own chametz, then that's a mitzvah. Could that be the nekudas of machleik
the
pesha?
But then that will only be clarified after Pesach, whereas if you hold it as an active thing, then...
I didn't say, I may have over-dramatized the same when the end of the week comes. Maybe when the clock strikes 12 and I repent, so that's when I get the mitzvah. Not clear. I don't know when the mitzvah is yet. Could this be the machlekes b'sham b'sil? I don't know what it starts. I'm not sure what it starts. So b'shamai, I know with absolute certainty, hell to kumvase. B'shilil may very well disagree with that nekuda. So we have three possible birurim as to what is the machlekes b'sham b'sil. Assuming Rashi's chat is correct, the Bisham. Notice Rashi never really told us anything about Basilah Holmes. But the Rashi was so obviously not telling it to us, we're sitting back 800 years later with three different possibilities within Basilah according to Rashi. Is the ultimate machloikas, they basically agree to Tashbisu, but just very, very end disagree? Do they completely agree about Tashbisu, but they're arguing about circumventions, shilas and svaras? Or is the machlokes so radical as to what the very essence of tashbisa is all about? Is it kuvasei sheva tasa? So the hope of mitzvah next week, this hakir that Mechatz Chinuch is now about, just put it out in front of us, is going to become critical for many, many things that we've already spoke about in the last three shiurim. We're going to go back to the last two. It'll be a little chazara next week to go look at some of the things we've been focusing on the last 3 weeks. Through the eyes of this Hakira, what effect these two different ways of Tashbisu are going to take us in terms of some of the sugars we've already touched upon.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's really sad. That's actually my question.